Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Mike McCarthy, you're keeping him basically to the end of his contract, which is at midnight tonight, which is today.
Mm-hmm.
Then
midnight last night is contract.
Yeah.
I've got to ask you this question, and you're going to be frustrated because it really has nothing to do with football. But technically, it's midnight is yesterday. And then the minute you strike midnight, it is then this morning, right?
That's a tough question.
Midnight Monday.
But it's this morning.
Yes.
Okay. I'm saying like 12:01 is this morning, yes. Believe it or not.
I mean, there are a lot of assumptions in your question.
Tuesday morning, 12:01, Mike McCarthy was a
That's
free
right.
agent.
There you go.
So why is he not having breakfast with the Bears?
I can't believe we're bogged down in this. And it's my fault. And I apologize.
I'm not bogged down in it.
But it's just something.
But I'm amused by it.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
It's about that time.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. The stuff we get bogged down in is pretty funny.
I mean,
that's a ridiculous thing.
Thank you for
bringing that back, Brandon.
Yeah.
And this morning we come in, and we're both wearing, we wear flag and anthem pretty much every day. But we had a conversation about how snug and warm these flannels are and how I didn't really feel the winter.
Well, it's like wearing a blanket, actually.
It's so fantastic.
And we avoided a very embarrassing fashion faux pas by almost showing up in the same shirt.
That's so funny.
But now we're in the same shirt, different color.
We both have the shirt that I'm wearing. And I was telling David.
Or the shirt that I'm wearing.
I don't think I have that one.
Oh, you don't have
this
one?
I think I have a blue version of that.
I do too.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be really bad.
But I was putting my shirt on and it occurred to me, like, what if David shows up in the same shirt and we look like twins?
That would be amusing.
It would be ridiculous.
Somewhat embarrassing.
But I
and definitely
love,
ridiculous.
love this shirt.
Oh, I think it's impossible not to, especially on a morning like today where
chilly out.
It's 8 degrees, feels like temperature is like 1.
Yeah.
And it's chilly, and you need to be dressed appropriately. And we are dressed appropriately.
We are blessed to have the fine folks at Flag and Anthem send us a shirt like this.
Honestly, are you kidding me?
It's just incredible.
They cozy us up for the winter.
Oh my God!
I feel cozy. Their summer collection, good stuff.
Yes.
Golf course ready.
Yes,
they have you ready in the fall. You look like the season, but they definitely specialize, I think, in the winter clothing.
Well, I got to be honest with you. This shirt on a winter day, that's championship caliber stuff.
Is.
I think their stuff's great all year long.
Yeah.
And I've got like a jacket that has a flannel kind of inside it. And that's the perfect coat to wear like in the fall, in the late spring or the early spring. I love that jacket.
I do too.
But I feel like there's nothing like a shirt of this magnitude in the winter.
Well, I feel very comfortable and warm and off to a good start this morning.
We're off to a good start.
You were feeling the same way I was today. It's time for Flag and Anthem, long sleeve. What type of flannel?
It's flannel-ish.
Yeah,
but it doesn't necessarily.
We're ready though. All right, we should move on.
It's a solid color.
We should move on. There's nothing more. The only thing people talking about what they're wearing, it's like we're talking about our golf game or our fantasy football team. But we are enjoying what we're wearing.
No, we're talking really about the winter in Chicago,
yes, right.
And it's been a cold couple of days, and we don't know. How would we know?
It's been a cold month. It's been a cold season.
Yeah. Well, and that's
part of it.
Could
be a cold year.
I am scratching my head about what's going on with the Bears, and I think it has nothing to do with how many people they're bringing in or what they're going through. It's just part of the anxiety of watching the Bears all these years.
Well, I think there's a cumulative effect.
That's it.
And I think it's hard to – and thank goodness we're fortunate to have this – every morning, 4.5 hours to talk it through, because it can be misperceived. The thing that we're complaining about, or I think have a problem with, isn't necessarily the timetable or how long it's taking.
No.
The thing that I think is most confounding is the length of the list of candidates that they are interviewing and the scope of their experience level. And the types of backgrounds that they're bringing to these interviews, and wondering why are they talking to David Shaw yesterday, for instance. David Shaw is a fine football coach.
Yes.
He actually had a good career at Stanford. There was a time when David Shaw was a hot NFL coaching candidate. He hasn't coached a game since 2022.
Yes.
Why was he interviewed yesterday, presumably for 3 hours, by the Chicago Bears looking for a head coach?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Question. It's difficult to know. I know something about David Shaw that will surprise you. This is just a weird thing that I picked up along the way. He's apparently very close friends with your guy Dabo. The two of them met at some coaching convention or something. They found out they had like similar values, similar outlooks. It was just like a super weird story I heard one time, maybe on a podcast, about their friendship, and it made no sense to me.
I find that amusing.
Yeah.
I don't know that know. It's something that...
Doesn't pertain to anything.
It doesn't pertain to
it. Wouldn't impact anything.
Well, I learned something that Dabo has a friend outside of South Carolina.
It's nice to know that people have friendships.
It does.
That's all. It's nice to know that a couple guys can meet, and because you know how it is when you meet someone and you like immediately like them, you think they're like good people,
yes,
and you connect with them. I had that experience with Mike Palm from Circa.
It's a vibe. Well, you guys have a lot in common.
Like, we had a lot in common.
You have a lot in common.
But we got to talking, and yeah, I was just like, God, I love this guy.
Yeah, I think he's a likable guy.
Yes, yes.
Good sense of humor. Very open. Very funny.
Very funny guy.
Yeah, he's quick witted. He's a Cub fan and a Notre Dame guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Back to David Shaw, was that virtual? That was a virtual.
I imagine it was virtual.
Okay.
I have not been told otherwise. It didn't have to be virtual, right?
No, it did not. Because that's what I wonder. And I guess this is the cynical NFL scribe,
yes,
background asking the question. Because if it were in person,
they would have
satisfied
the Rooney Rule. Yes.
It would have checked that box.
Yes, it would.
But if it were virtual, then I'm wondering again, what are you interested in finding out about somebody who hasn't coached since 2022, was part of the Broncos organization?
Yes.
And
I will say this. I believe the Rooney Rule applies to every team, and it should, mm-hmm, and it's not a bad idea, and I don't have a problem with it. I also believe that what they did in New England was kind of circumvented by bringing in a couple of guys like
David Shaw. That's a kind way of putting it.
That have been out of the league for a while.
It's a kind way of putting it.
It is a kind way.
They mocked it.
They mocked
the Rooney Rule.
But I think with the Bears, when you look at their decision makers, I think that they're kind of above, like, you know, with as many strong African-American leaders in the organization that they have. I can't really ridicule them if they brought David Shaw in because they brought in Chico and now they satisfied the Rooney.
Well, I also think that it makes you think that they wouldn't do that.
It
makes me think that they wouldn't try to use the right verb. They would not use a candidate like David Shaw because they would have too much respect for the rule.
Yes.
And likely too much respect for the candidate.
I agree.
So I want to give the Bears credit in that way.
Too. That's what I'm trying
so
to say.
So I doubt that that was the purpose. So again, I go back to wondering,
but
what would he bring to the interview?
But here's I think it's a legitimate question. The thing is, Mike McCarthy is being brought in, right? So as many interviews as you have lined up, as much time as you want to spend, this could be a speedier. I think this could conceive. They've changed the way they're operating by bringing him in.
Well,
they've only brought in, to our knowledge, one other candidate, who is Ron Rivera. Mm-hmm. I do not believe, you know, I mean, Chico was probably in town, probably wanted to go there, probably gave George a hug.
But you didn't look at that as an advantageous to the Bears' process to bring him in or to Rivera's chances.
I looked at it more like Rivera wanted to come in as opposed to doing it over.
I viewed it like you viewed it, like, oh, here's a former player, former coach, friend of the organization.
Friend of our program.
Friend of the program.
Let's be fair.
And so they brought him in and said, come in here, big guy.
Yeah.
You know, let's hug it out.
Get over here for once.
So I think that makes sense. But I think where you're going with this is that Mike McCarthy comes in today to interview. If things progress a certain way, then they might feel compelled to move quicker on Mike McCarthy if they have satisfied all the other requirements for a coaching search. I think that's interesting. I don't disagree with it. But here's what I think the point is what we'll talk about moving forward until they hire somebody. That's a difficult needle to thread because now they have a guy in person in McCarthy who they presumably could live with and be happy about and be proud of introducing. But you have Ben Johnson, who I think is candidate A, plan A, and then if you have to wait for Ben Johnson, conceivably, you could be waiting until February 10th, which is the day after the Super Bowl.
That's correct.
And if you have Mike McCarthy ready to go and it's mid-January and you'd like to get on with things, this is the conundrum that I think all teams face when they're hiring head coaches. Do you go with the things that you know and you can guarantee, which is if they wanted to hire Mike McCarthy and have it on Friday, game over. Or do you wait for the guy that's successful and still in the playoffs?
I think that the league, the way this process is now, the rules around it, they're trying to allow coaches that are in the Super Bowl to be able to get a head coaching job. They're trying to be fair to guys that have made the playoffs. They've changed the rules with the idea that it's taking too long for teams to strike, so if we have more people that you can't hire until then, maybe they would be willing to wait and then hire someone out of the Super Bowl. I understand why they changed the rules. But the way the Bears have operated and the number, it's like they're sitting there waiting to hire Ben Johnson. So let's interview everyone in the league, that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's almost one of the perceptions you have. I just wonder, you know, you could get, if McCarthy comes in, you've presumably done homework on him because you've invited him. If this goes as well as you hope it will go, you may want to get that done faster because there are other teams out there that are bringing people in person, and you don't know if you're going to run in. And I don't know that they wanted Mike Vrabel. I don't know how serious they were about that, but he's gone. He's already locked up, and he's already a head coach. This is another guy. It could be signed. It could be gone. And you got to keep that in mind, whether you want to or not. You know, I'm sure McCarthy, we know that New Orleans is interested. He's going to end up getting hired in this cycle. There are six jobs open. If you like him, you're going to have to strike.
Well, that's a difficult situation to be in because if you strike and you find your guy while you're waiting for the other guy, and you sign Mike McCarthy and strike an agreement with him, before Ben Johnson makes up his mind. Yeah, you get your guy, but you also risk missing out on your number one choice, unless you know something behind the scenes that Ben Johnson has given indications that he's not interested in working for you. Right. That isn't the indication that we or I have gotten. Ben Johnson, by several accounts, talked to some people. That went pretty well, or it didn't go poorly. It wasn't something where they had a meeting, they did the Zoom interview, and virtually they agreed to disagree and move on. There was some common ground, from what I understand, and Ben Johnson will continue down the road of being the hottest candidate. We'll find out what the Lions do against the Commanders. But I think that it's a tough balance to strike, Molly, because if they like Mike McCarthy and they sense there's a symmetry there, and you sense that he's excited about the possibility of working in Chicago, getting back in the NFC North, and doing what he's done for the last, 15 years or so as a head coach, then it's a tough one. I think they probably wait, though. I think it's a gamble. It's a calculated risk. But
I think the problem is, and this is the problem for a guy like Ben Johnson, if somebody comes in and blows you away in an interview, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if you gain conviction that this, listen, you know, David Shaw was at Stanford. He helped develop Andrew Luck. So you look at a guy like that, and he was with Harbaugh all those years. You look at a guy like that, and you say, hey, come on in, let's talk. Hey, how did that work? What did you do? What did you find was the key to being able to get the best out of a guy like that?
Mm-hmm.
You can gain a lot of information. He's got a lot of information. And if that's what they're doing, great. If they're sincere about him, or if they're thinking, you know what, if we put a staff together, this is a guy that could come in and do some great work.
I wonder about that aspect of it. I understand why you'd say that, but are guys interviewing for head coaching jobs knowing they don't have a realistic chance of getting them because they're one day envisioning working on a staff there?
No.
When
they call you and you get that call, you're thinking you're interviewing for the head coach.
That's what you're thinking. But, what are they thinking?
Well, they're casting directors, and they're thinking, he doesn't fit this role.
Right.
But boy, I bet he'd win an Oscar as best supporting coach.
I don't want to sound defensive, because I think that we have been critical of the process because of how lengthy the list is. And we've gotten some pushback, and I know the Bears have their PR people policing everything and complaining about how many people are complaining about the process. But I understand why they would take advantage of the time throughout the month to kind of gather information and assemble this database, if you will. But I think what it is about the list that is troubling, or at least worth scrutiny. These are the Bears. They have not really done coaching searches well. The scope of the experience and the backgrounds of the people who they are interviewing leads you to believe, or at least wonder, do they know what they're looking for?
Well, I mean, this is the problem, and let's be honest about it. The general manager, was involved in hiring Matt Eberflus, who hires an offensive coordinator that they fire. They fire the guy. Then they got one job to do. They're going to draft the quarterback. They got one thing. We got to get the quarterback, relationship with the quarterback, all about the quarterback. Well, there's the guy. He'll be the guy. You run through all these guys that end up doing very well with the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Liam Cohen and Kingsbury and whomever. Thomas Brown. So you hire Waldron, and then you're like, hey, Thomas Brown's pretty sharp. Let's make him the passing game coordinator. So he gets a job here, not the one that he wanted, but he gets a job on staff. He never even talks to the court. I'm just saying. So you fire the guy. The only job you had to do is get that guy in there, and you get the wrong guy, and you fire him, and then you promote a guy. And the minute he gets going with the quarterback, you got to fire the other guy. So you make him. The way they've operated is why you lose faith in the process they're going through.
That's exactly
right.
Period,
end of story. And
I think when we have a texter, 815, weighing in, David, if your top guy is in the playoffs, why not interview everyone? Do you want them to sit on their hands for 5 weeks doing nothing? It's a fair question. Mm. And I think that you just, in a way, answered it. And I feel the exact same way. If we were talking about a search or an organization that was led by a strong football guy who had earned the benefit of the doubt, we'd all be looking at this. I would be looking at this very differently. My problem is, and I have to be honest about it, I was thinking about this last night because we continue to get a little bit of pushback. I don't trust Ryan Poles, and I don't have a lot of confidence in his ability to pick the right guy or to conduct a process that makes sense to me. So everything that he does, many things that he will do, I will question, just not out of habit, but because he has not earned the benefit of the doubt.
That's the problem. And you know what? I really can forgive that and not worry about it and say, okay, great. But when it gets down to the idea, well, if I can't work with my guy, I'm going somewhere else. Now you got a problem. If there is a head coaching candidate who wants the Bears job, but really doesn't want to come in with a general manager that he would inherit for at least a year and then maybe get his own say. Well, I think that doesn't play for me.
You're talking about one guy in the process. That's a Ben Johnson problem.
Well, it might have been a Vrabel problem, David.
It probably was a Vrabel problem.
So, yeah, I mean, okay, now it's enough. Not just
Did you
one
see
guy.
What happened in New England? Mike Vrabel has ascended above Elliot Wolf as the number one football guy in that building.
Yes.
I think that's very interesting.
Yeah.
So he may have wanted that reality in Chicago, or maybe never even got to that point because he knew that he was going to be headed elsewhere, which is why the Bears conceded and didn't even invite him to the building. I think that's a big issue if you're looking at guys who will want exactly what they want, and guys like, let's face it, Mike McCarthy, who are out of work, would love the chance to be a head coach again and will be more willing to work with the situation that already exists, because you know what? Over the last 13 years, he's been working with different types of situations anyway.
He comes from dysfunction.
Yes.
He'd fit right in here.
The Bears may look nice and quiet.
Exactly.
To Mike McCarthy as opposed to what he's been dealing with. Jerry Jones.
It doesn't matter how weird people are, as long as they're not intrusive.
Yeah. As long as they don't have a weekly radio show.
Exactly. As long as you're not learning things about your team and your job. Yeah. While listening to the guy in the corner of the locker room.
So the process continues today. Mike McCarthy at House Hall. That's going to be interesting to see exactly what we hear if things trickle out. And I imagine they may do another Zoom interview or two. Let's wait and see. Last night, the Bulls also played, Mully.
Yes, they did.
I have to tell you, that was very frustrating. You talk about frustration.
Yeah.
The Pelicans now have won 9 games. 2 of those games are against the Bulls, and those are 2 of their victories are against the team that were at home last night, needed this game, and they lost to the Pelicans, and Zion was good.
Well, Zion looked like an all-star. Zion did whatever he wanted to do in the first half, but the Bulls had a nice lead, and you thought, well, it's nice that that guy's killing them, but it's just that guy killing them. Then you get to the second half. The idea that you lost to them is absurd to me. It's just ridiculous.
Such a bad loss.
It's a terrible loss.
Another bad loss.
They
play well against good teams, and they definitely don't rise to the occasion, or they don't take care of business against bad teams. Now, I don't want to quibble, but I think I will again. And it's a Dustin thing again, and I hesitate to ask this. Probably should do it off the air rather than on the air, but why not? I think that 3 times in the first 5 minutes of the pregame show, he mentioned that Zach LaVine scored 2 points in the first half. And I got to think that was on purpose. I got to think that was for emphasis. He ended up with 25. He did not get 30 for the 7th straight game. You said that a couple times too. But I think that you pointed out Zach scored 2 points in the first half on purpose. Correct or not?
Those were the facts, David. Mostly not to have opinions in the pregame show. I'm mostly to deliver the facts.
You can choose which facts.
The facts were, and I played his lone basket, which happened almost before the half. It almost happened before the half on a dunk. Okay, it made it 55-51 in favor of the Bulls.
So that's a way of showing an opinion.
He had two whole points.
Sneaky. That is you expressing an opinion.
While providing the facts. Well, the facts were he scored two whole points in the first half.
Save the commentary for pick six.
And we'll get to that next. You'll hear more from Dustin. You know, I now am afraid to submit certain questions because I think about how we might answer. Sometimes I submit a question because I want him to answer it a certain way.
I know.
But there are times when I'm like afraid to congratulate a friend's son over something because I don't know what Dustin will do with it.
Glad I heard that correctly then. I'm glad I picked up on that.
Yeah, it's very funny. We've got the Pick Six next. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Molly and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Haw. Pick Six with Molly and Haw starts now.
Have you reconsidered what is the most coveted current head coaching job in the NFL? Is it the Bears? Is it a better job than, say, Dallas? Do you consider Ryan Poles a detriment or impediment to the hiring the best coach? If Mike McCarthy or any candidates blows the Bears away, are they prepared to do something about it?
That is good stuff, all of it. I do not believe they're capable or they're able to do much about it if they're blown away by a candidate. If Mike McCarthy comes in and does this incredible interview, if David Shaw said things to him, if Ron Rivera, if Pete Carroll, I mean, they've had people in that they could announce and you could say, well, that's interesting. And I do not believe they are moving off their process. I think it's interesting that McCarthy is in person doing the interview. but I don't know that they are prepared to do something about it. So I think they're going through their process. And I don't know how coveted the position is because of the question. The question, you know, is the Bears a better job than Dallas? You know, you'd have to look at a lot of things, not in Troy Aikman's mind, and he spent a lot of time there. Is Ryan Poles a detriment or impediment to hiring the best coach? That, to me, is the question that you've got to solve. You've got to resolve that. If indeed you can't, if Ben Johnson's your guy and you can't get him because of that reason, that's a problem. It's a big problem. And I don't think they're prepared to do anything about it. So, you know, they will conclude that if a guy has a problem with Ryan, then he's the wrong guy. Others might conclude that the job isn't as good as you think it is. And I think the job in Dallas isn't as good as people think it is because of Jerry. Because he's there, he's omnipresent, and he's got a comment about everything. And you know, you need to be able to work with that. You need to be a guy like Deion Sanders that he respects. And you might be able to stand up to him every once in a while if you so choose. I think the problem with a lot of these jobs is that there are people in the way of success. And if the Bears are one of those, then they got to solve that problem.
I think this is a really interesting question. There is a ton here. And I think, Mully, you're spot on with the Ryan Poles part. Is he a detriment? Does he get in the way to the Bears landing the absolute best candidate out there? And I think it's TBD right now at this point. Is he a detriment? Eventually, we're going to find out. Like, if the Ben Johnson thing doesn't go the Bears' way and he ends up in Vegas or he ends up in Jacksonville, we're going to know more about it. But the fact that there's all these jobs available and he's interviewing only for a few of them shows that he is at least interested in the Bears' job. So he at least took the interview, and Ryan Poles didn't get in the way of that. So I guess that is something you have to put on a check mark, that he didn't stop the guy everybody seems to want from coming in and talking to them. As far as the best job out there, I think it is. I mean, really, if you were going to whiteboard this thing up, why would it be a better? Listen, at the end, they're all good jobs. You're the head coach in the NFL.
32.
Right?
Yeah.
We love to say that, right? It's a head coaching job in the NFL. There's not a bad job out there. Now, again, you can get into, if you're lucky enough to pick your spot, lifestyle, your wife's family, your family, the conference, the other teams in the division, if you're lucky enough to get to pick all that stuff, great. But they're all good jobs. Do I want Jerry Jones breathing down my back? No, but if you score in Dallas, you're going to be the king, and Jerry's going to treat you like that, you know, financially. In longevity wise, so that's not a terrible job just because Jerry Jones is this super big ego.
If you're asking the question of whether Ryan Poles is a detriment or impediment to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears, that's your answer. If you have to ask the question, you know the answer. And the answer is, yeah, he is. This is not a proven decision maker. This is not a proven NFL executive. This is not somebody who I think commands a kind of respect that his supporters want to give him in Chicago. This is somebody who's in the way. If he were not in the way, this job would be much more appealing. And we wouldn't be having these conversations about what Ben Johnson may or may not do. I really believe that if there were a situation like you have with the Las Vegas Raiders and there was not a lead executive and they didn't have to have a rapport established with the new coach and the sitting general manager, then this job would be a lot more appealing. That's not, it doesn't sound very nice, but it is a truth, I believe. Or at least that's my opinion of the truth. And Ryan Poles was retained. Now the Bears are going to have to deal with those consequences. It makes the Cowboys, I think, maybe a better job in spite of the fact that Jerry Jones is there hovering over everything. You know that going in. But you also are looking at a franchise that has averaged 10 wins a season for the last 4 years and have been in the playoffs 3 of those 4 seasons. And so you're getting a team and a roster in Dallas that has a superstar on defense, has a pretty good defense in terms of pieces. You've got an established quarterback in Dak Prescott. You've got some other pieces on the offensive line. And I think you have a market that is as crazy about football as we are here in Chicago. So I would put the Cowboys slightly ahead of the Bears in terms of appeal to a head coach. And the Bears, I think, have some issues internally. They have obviously the dysfunction that we have seen play out on the field. It does matter. You have ownership that does not know how to get out of its own way. And you've got a general manager with a 15-36 record over three seasons and yet is being entrusted to find the next head coach. All those things combined to say, yeah, this could end well. They're going to have to thread the needle very carefully if they like Mike McCarthy today. I think our confidence, though, history has shown that you have maybe some confidence, but you don't want to get carried away because of past history.
Such a great question.
That's the voice of Stacey Dale. She's here at 9 a.m. with Mike McCarthy, scheduled to interview today with the Bears in person. Is it his job to lose, or is McCarthy likely plan B? How much would you worry about McCarthy taking another job while the Bears potentially wait for Ben Johnson?
That's a real concern. That's what we're alluding to, because if they like him and they are prepared to win with him or try to win with him, the Saints need a coach. I don't know if the Jets are involved in McCarthy. Heck, do we know the Raiders aren't interested? They interviewed Pete Carroll. So if they start this process a little bit later, they just got rid of Tom Telesco. That might be an appealing situation to McCarthy if he's looking to land on his feet. Again, without the front office impediment in Vegas that you may have at other places. It's very likely that Mike McCarthy could emerge as a strong plan B if Ben Johnson is your plan A. I really believe that Ben Johnson, based on some of the things and indications you're getting, had a pretty good interview with the Bears. There was nothing that I think was said during their three-hour virtual session that was a deal breaker. It doesn't sound like that would be the case. I think the rapport with Ryan Poles, there would be a lot of assumptions that both sides would be making. They don't have a shared history. I'm not even sure they have people in their background who are common football guys that may come up. I'm not sure about that. We'll find that if this proceeds. But if it's Ben Johnson is plan A, Mike McCarthy is probably plan B on that second tier of guys they could live with, along with maybe Pete Carroll, Brian Flores, and Cliff Kingsbury. Names of guys who have done the job before. And then you get into your coordinator batch, which is a big batch. But I do think Mike McCarthy is probably at the top of the list of guys right underneath Ben Johnson.
Well, here's what's interesting is, and this goes back to what you guys were talking about yesterday, and I thought about it a lot, is the lack of maybe focus in this coaching search. Now, I'm going to stay pat into what I said. I don't mind the fact that they're interviewing all these guys, but if plan A is Ben Johnson, you're talking about a whiz kid offensive guy that has never been the head coach and leader of men. And then plan B is a well-established longtime guy, Mike McCarthy, who's been there, done that, also offensive. So now is plan C defensive? And then are we looking for a first-time guy, or are we looking for a guy who's rebounding on his second or third time? I made these mistakes the first, second go around. Now this is what I'm going to do in my second or third go. That's what's so confusing about it. I personally think you don't have to rush into this. It sounds like Mike McCarthy's got two options right now, the Bears and the Saints. Okay? So unless he blows your door. Now, but there is something to be said. I think the biggest piece of news is that this interview is being done at Halas Hall, and you have to say why. To me, not there, don't know for sure, but to me it says they're really, really interested. Otherwise, why would you break the protocol and not have him Zoom? It's because, unless maybe Mike McCarthy said, I'm not Zooming. If you wanted, I want to see what I might be getting into. I want to see your facility. I want to walk around. I want to see what I might be getting myself into. So maybe he's the one who said, not so fast. I'm not Zooming. I'm coming in, even if I got to pay for a middle seat on Southwest Airlines.
Well, they'll pay for your middle seat. No, I think that I think that's probably accurate. I think if McCarthy wants to come in, you bring him in. I you know, and I don't know if it's if he says, I don't want to Zoom, Dustin, they might say, well, let's Google chat. There are other ways of virtually contacting him than Zoom. I know you love to promote that Zoom thing, but let's just be fair about it and not, you know, say that you're going to Hoover the carpet, okay? Because there are Dysons that do as good a job as anything.
Wow.
I've been preaching this one for days.
You have been. You're driving home the fact that you must have gotten burnt in the stock market by investing in Zoom. I don't know.
Those things being said, I'll pause and open it up for questions.
That sensitive. Is the voice of Mike Tomlin. What do you think of the Steelers coach, Mike Tomlin, responding to a question about teams potentially trading for him?
Save your time.
Do you think the Bears have ever considered Tomlin?
They'd be crazy if they didn't. It might be better for Mike Tomlin to get out of there, frankly. I think that if he could have that kind of success here, he'd be treated a lot differently, and they have a better quarterback here. They have a guy that if you work with him and you get him better, maybe he can Ben Roethlisberger some games for you in the playoffs. You can start winning some games again. I'll say it again. I know there are people that think that Mike McCarthy's kind of a trash coach, but he's not going to make dumb arse decisions at the end of the game and let the clock tick out, right? He's been doing it long enough that he knows game management. He's been through it, and you don't have to worry about that. It's a big deal, and we saw it unfold this year with the Bears. So anybody who has done it before and is competent could have gotten 7 wins out of this team. I really believe that. I think when you talk about it, Mike Tomlin, you know, he's the kind of guy that could get 9-10 wins out of this team because he wins. He's never had a losing season. That's an extraordinary 18 years as a head coach in the NFL, never had a losing season. Think about that. Think about all the years we've watched the Bears, including last year, where we walked away feeling that it was a disaster. They better be thinking about him. Mike's not going anywhere. He said he's not going anywhere. That's great. You know, I would look into a bunch of people. I would look at a bunch of people that are currently coaches now, and I will now get myself a tissue, not a Kleenex.
Okay, well played.
They on sale this week at the Jewels. As much as Ryan Poles would like us to believe that it's very hard to make this Bears roster, it's not. The roster's got a ton of flaws. So that being said, I'm not a fan of it in any scenario, but in the Bears situation, they don't have the draft capital and the roster to go ahead and trade for any head coach, let alone Mike Tomlin. You know, if Mike Tomlin was available, of course, whatever he wants to, you know, if he wants to Zoom, you let him Zoom. If he wants to come in, you let him come in. If he wants a ride in a car, if he wants a ride in a helicopter, if he wants a ride on an airline, you do whatever and you talk to the guy because he has built with the Steelers a great, yes, sir.
What if he wants to ride in a yacht like he did with Jerry?
I don't know how the yacht would get here, right? But could you get it? Could you get a yacht from Pittsburgh to Chicago?
Yeah, you can get a yacht.
Is there a way to get through the Great Lakes that way? I'm not smart enough to know.
Yeah,
but if there's a will, there's a way. So, yes, if Mike Tomlin was available, why would you not talk to Mike Tomlin?
I doubt they considered it. That seems a little bit too bold for the Bears, although they should have. And Mike Tomlin being off the market by his own doing is unfortunate for a team like the Bears that needs a strong head coach and hasn't had one in a long time. Save your time. I think it's good advice, understandable. They can use that time they might have devoted to exploring trades for Mike Tomlin by exploring trades for Kevin O'Connell. Because if Kevin O'Connell, until he signs a deal to secure his future with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm going to look at the Jay Glazer report, which I think was reiterated after the loss to the Rams, as an invitation to explore. You talk about plan B or plan C. If Kevin O'Connell is available via trade, then you take this time that you're using to interview 21 candidates and you use a portion of that time to find out what it would take and what are the Vikings asking. What are they asking and what would you give up? It's a fair question, and I would not necessarily hoard draft picks for the right head coach. Kevin O'Connell can win with any quarterback. He's going to develop Sam Darnold, he's going to get the most out of J.J. McCarthy. You want to send him Kirk Cousins back, he'll win with him too. Whatever it takes. Kevin O'Connell is that kind of a coach, and I do think that he has earned that kind of respect. So save your time, teams, yes, but that time is now going to be spent wisely looking into what's going to take to pry Kevin O'Connell out of Minnesota.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. I'm sure we'll talk to Bruce before CubsCon gets underway on Friday. What do you make of Bruce Levine's story that the Cubs have, quote, casual conversations, end quote, with the super agent Scott Boras regarding short-term contract with the former Astro free agent third baseman Alex Bregman? The 31-year-old is looking for a $200 million deal after passing on a six-year $156 million deal from the Astros, but nothing has been forthcoming. Do you like the idea of playing Bregman an opt-out deal like they did most recently with Cody Bellinger?
Well, even the biggest fans of Matt Shaw have to say that the idea of Alex Bregman coming to the Cubs would be exciting. It would be galvanizing. It would be all the things. And it would put the Cubs at a spot where they're not at currently, because you don't have a lot of – you have a kind of excitement, little trepidation. I don't know how to feel about this Cubs season until the roster is more complete, but certainly Alex Bregman would go a long way toward completing that roster, at least offensively and with position players in your everyday lineup. They still need some pieces in the bullpen. We'll talk to Tommy Hadovy about that at 8:25. But, yeah, I think, of course – you would be excited about that. What are the terms, though? What will he agree to? Every free agent that wants a long-term contract, you would like to talk to their agent about making it short-term so you could get out of it, so they could get out of it, so they can have maybe a handshake agreement, whatever it is that you maybe at the end of this, we'll talk again. With Bellinger, you got two good years. Well, you got one really good year. If you got that out of Bregman this year, you could live with that. What does casual conversation with Scott Boras sound like? Does he throw in a lot of puns if it's casual? Or does he have to save that for the formal conversations? I like the idea of making the offer. I would love it if they land him.
Yeah, I mean, it would be an unbelievable person for Matt Shaw to, you know, play behind, learn from. You could give Matt Shaw, you know, a game or two a week and have Bregman be your DH. The Cubs don't have an obvious necessarily DH candidate. I guess right now it's Seiya Suzuki, right? He's your DH, even though supposedly he doesn't want that. I'm fine with the first part of it. Okay, let's say Alex Bregman for $19 million for 2025. Just putting a number out there. But what's the back end of it? Is it Bregman's op? Is it a player option? Is it a mutual option? And is it
you know, Cody Bellinger part two?
Right, and that's the part that's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
So you know the Cubs didn't think. They didn't think Bellinger was going to opt back in. They thought Bellinger was going to walk and look for greener pastures. But unfortunately for, I guess, Cody Bellinger and the Cubs, he didn't have the type of season that allowed him to do that. So he's like, yeah, you know what? I'll stick around and take another $20 million from the Cubs. So that's what you got to be careful about. But the Cubs, okay, give me another scenario. Matt Shaw, I don't think maybe he can't. We don't know. He shouldn't have all this pressure to be the opening day third baseman at this point in his career.
That is interesting, Dustin, because I think, you know, this guy's looking for $25 to $30 million a year. And he turned down a contract with Houston that would effectively average $26 million a year. I don't think you're getting him for 19. I think that if you're going to get him to a contract where he comes here on a short-term deal, you're going to have to give him a three-year contract, $75 to $100 million. And he gets the options to opt out if he has a sensational season or whatever. That's what a short-term contract would look like. I think it's a lot of money. I think he's a good player. I think he would help them a ton. And I think that, as great as Matt Shaw, as great as the things you hear about him, he's already working his arse off. He's getting ready. He knows the opportunity is there. Make him a part of your team. And they've cleared out a lot of guys, didn't they? Mastroboni passed through waivers and they traded him for cash.
I thought that was a special segment later because Dustin scheduled that.
Cash consideration. I'm sorry. Did I blow it?
Mastroboni's gone.
Yeah. I know Dustin wanted it. Did you talk to anyone in Seattle?
Well, in all seriousness, I don't understand how this works. So they DFA'd him, and yes. Then you wake up this morning, or last night, actually. I saw a tweet, and it was, they've traded. Wait a second. I thought they got rid of him.
They cleared the roster spot, yeah. And so they put him on waivers. No one wanted his contract.
Shocking.
Then they traded him for cash considerations to Seattle. So they got more
I'm
cash.
I'm sorry I interrupted.
No,
but
not
at all. I needed to mark that moment. Master Boney's gone.
Yeah. I think it's a fair thing
off
to
the
mark.
Menu.
Yeah. Dustino. Well, it went off the menu. Okay. But I think that it would help to get a guy like this. I think they need more. I think they need more on the back end. They've got money. Spend it.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
So how badly do the Bulls need Iodesumu back in the rotation, and whose minutes will decrease? Are you comfortable with Billy Donovan's rotation?
I welcome Ayu back. I think he's a good player. I think he's rock solid. I think he will play defense. I think he will finish games. And I think he will finish games as opposed to, say, Josh Giddey. And that's the guy's minutes he's going to take. Am I comfortable with Billy's rotation? Yeah, I am. I mean, we haven't talked much about Torrey Craig has a sprained ankle, severely sprained ankle. They're going to not even look at him for another couple of weeks. So he's out for a while. I think Billy Donovan has had a really good year. And the way that he's played has been exciting to watch. And I think the Bulls are very up and down. And we've seen them like that for a very long time.
I guess it would be a combination. So last night we saw that the starter, Patrick Williams, his minutes were only 20. He was a plus minus negative 19, led the team in that yesterday over at the United Center. And I guess Josh Giddey's probably minutes would go down a bit if Io was back in the mix. I'd like to see him back. I expect him back tonight. You'll find out 6:45 here on the score tonight.
How many points did LaVine have, especially in the first half?
Two.
Can we play
points.
That highlight for effect? I tell you, those updates. All right, so
take it easy.
Ayo Dosunmu comes back at the perfect time. He is the Trae Young stopper. That is the guy that you want him guarding tonight as much as possible.
Had a great game last night.
He really did. Yeah. And they're playing the second of a back-to-back. The Bulls are at home. They have an advantage there. But they do have Ayo back to reinforce their defense and I think give them a little bit more spark, ideally. You never know with the Bulls. But that is where Io's best purpose will be tonight. And I hope he gets whatever he's ready to play. 20, 25 minutes? Is that too much to ask? Josh Giddey had 13 boards and I think 12 assists last night, not in double figure scoring, but it's probably going to come at his expense. Sometimes his defense really leaves a lot to be desired, even after his epiphany that he needs to play hard and show effort. He still can't play a lot of defense. I love Io on the floor. Kobe has to get hot again. The rotation, I don't have huge problems with Billy Donovan. I think he does a nice job of reading the situation and reacting to it well. Horton Tucker, I don't know where he fits sometimes, but he's a guy that when he's on the floor, I have to look at the score. Are they ahead by a lot? Are they behind by a lot? What's the purpose of him being on the floor as much as he is? So welcome back, Io. They're going to need you tonight.
That question remains.
The Blackhawks, Chris Chelios, the ambassador, and our BetMGM ambassador, will be here at 8:44 talking Blackhawks. CHN Blackhawks analyst Darren Pang opened eyes and ears the other night by saying the Hawks weren't, quote, playing for one another. Do you agree with the Panger?
Well, this was really something. Darren Pang, well-respected, and the team's TV analyst on the Chicago Sports Network, essentially called out the Blackhawks for not playing for each other and not playing good hockey and saying everything that everybody who's been watching the Hawks lately has been thinking. Thank you, Panger, for telling the truth. Not easy job to do when you're in that role, but he's telling the truth because he respects the Hawks fan. And the Hawks fan is watching this team lose 9 out of 11. And yeah, there's not many expectations on a team that really has fallen a little bit off the radar in this city. But the people that are paying attention deserve better. And Darren Pang pointed that out. Connor Bedard gets his 100th point, great. But they are underachieving. They have too many guys who aren't really playing up to potential. Kuroshev gets a healthy scratch. TJ Brody and Seth Jones has come back in 11 games. The Hawks have been outscored 16-11. And he's got to be better. He's not that good. His career low in ice time was the other night against Calgary. You wonder where that is headed. Hawks are a mess right now.
Yeah, they have not gotten a coach's bounce, that's for sure. I guess Luke Richardson wasn't the problem. And then you get blown out by the Flames, and the only highlight is the fact that the youngster, Connor Bedard, getting his 100th career point in just 112 career games, joining guys like Gretzky and Lemieux and other guys who did it really, really quick, getting that 100th career point. So that's the reason to tune in. That's the reason to watch. It's all about Connor Bedard and his development.
Yeah, I suppose so. I like that Panger did that. I like that he called him out. I think that if you're a guy working for a team and the team plays poorly, it is upon you to tell the truth about it. And if that's a hard thing to hear, and if that's an indictment of the coaches or the general manager, tough toenails, as we say in the business. That's just the
do
way.
Do we say that in the business?
No.
Do we say?
I've never heard the expression.
What business do we say tough toenails? I know. Are you now a pedicurist?
Yeah. Maybe that might be the only one. How did it go? Well, I had a tough toenail this morning. I got to tell you, I really like the guy saying it, and I hope there's no fallback. I hope there's no offense taken or somebody want. Hey, make sure you put word that differently. Exactly what's going on. Good for him.
Good for him. Mannies and Petties, 5:30 to 10.
All right, we got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Now that the Bears have received indications that the state would help fund infrastructure renovation with nearly $500 million for the Michael Reese Hospital site, is that most likely a feasible option? Can Kevin Warren shift his sights and shelve his ego to make this his new priority?
Well, I think it was very quietly reported that this development gives the Bears the momentum that Kevin Warren referenced last week. Maybe he knew something at the time. Maybe this happened independent of that. Regardless of the circumstances, this was something that gives you reason to believe that the Bears staying in Chicago is a legitimate possibility now. Or let me rephrase that by saying it's more legitimate than I thought it was before you found out that the state was willing to commit $466 million in surplus money to infrastructure improvements that were necessary. And I think people could reasonably agree part of the government's responsibility to any project that is going to revitalize a part of the city the way that this project would Brownsville. So I think there are a lot of things in play here and a lot of things that have reason to believe make sense here that isn't necessarily true about the museum campus site, where there would be potential litigation with Friends of the Parks, the congestion factor, and just the practicality of demolishing one building to build another. And I just don't know if that makes as much sense to practical people as maybe the Michael Reese Hospital site, which you could get on board with. I still believe the easiest option for the Bears is to put shovels in the ground, as they say, in Arlington Heights on land they own and have purchased, and I think that was plan A. But if they go this direction, you could understand it, especially if there's private investment behind it, as it appears, because of the way that it would the redevelopment commitment with the owners of the site. And so this makes sense. And the next time Kevin Warren talks about grand plans in the city, you don't have to roll your eyes, because this makes a lot more sense than the museum campus.
Wherever it's built, people will show up, lots of people, and will spend lots of money to be there. Here's why I think I'm scratching my head and what I want to see just as a fan. Where's the renderings? Where's the pictures? No, seriously, right? I mean, that's what gets people excited, gets people on board. Okay, so here is what the Michael Reese site used to look like. Here's what it looks like today. And here's potentially what it could look like with the state's help and the Bears and the NFL getting together to revitalize an area that you guys said, I don't think I've ever been in that area.
I didn't want to smile or scoff at that, Dustin. I did reflexively, but I do think you're right because there have been safety and size concerns about that site.
I just want to see it. What would it look like? And that would probably get more people on board or excited because when we have seen what the plan is, it gets you excited. But guess again, wherever it goes, people are going to show up.
I think it's kind of not far from, like, you could walk to, like, the beach at 31st Street or something.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like you really would be revitalizing a neighborhood, and you would really be helping. And I mean, listen, it's far enough away from the Obama Library. It's not, like, connected or anything else, and it's not that close to, but our lake shore is beautiful, and it's beautiful all the way around the lake. And if you could revitalize an area that is very, Michael Reese Hospital it's like a vacant building, Dustin. There's like nothing there. And if you could revitalize a neighborhood, throw some hotels in there, who knows? Maybe you do put a casino nearby. I don't know what they want to do with it. But, you know, that brings bars and people. And it would just be like a dead area come to life. It would be putting, you know, instead of like going into a leafy suburb and building a building and that's great and they get more revenue for their schools. You could do that in an area that really needs revitalization. It would be a great thing for the city of Chicago if you went to that area. It really would. Presuming that you still took care of the lakefront and, you know, you still could have events at that building that's sitting there or, you know, I mean, how great was it to see kids play football there? What a thrill to have kids go and be able to play football games. They've had college games, they've had concerts. It's just a great Soldier Field is cool, and there's a great area around there, but it is kind of removed, and if you revitalize this other area, it would be fantastic.
It would become, in theory, a destination.
Yes,
for a lot of people, that in the way that the museum campus really wouldn't be, because it wouldn't be more. I know the renderings have a hotel and a casino, yeah, all those things, but it seems a little far-fetched, actually.
It does, yeah. I mean, and as far as Kevin is concerned, you know, it's exactly what he was talking about, and it is a great idea that you could really make an impact on the city of Chicago. All right, we got to get to Joe Ostrowski. We're going to talk to our guy Joe O next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
Money, 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 money.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Time to talk to our buddy Joe Ostrowski. He joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Joseph, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing this morning?
We are shot out of a cannon. I'm very excited about many things. I mean, I'm excited that the Bears coaching search is over. Oh, wait a minute. No. Someday. What are the odds on
maybe,
that?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. There's a big movement yesterday. A couple weeks ago, we mentioned that Cliff Kingsbury was the favorite there. And then I look yesterday, okay, Ben Johnson, he's been the favorite for a little while. He was the odds-on favorite. Yesterday afternoon, it was minus 125. Then you look a few hours later, big movement, minus 250. Ben Johnson to be the Bears head coach. Of all the openings, that is the biggest favorite. You remember last week at this time, Vrabel was the biggest favorite of any job. No surprise that ends up going down this week. But I find that to be interesting. My guess would be a lot of what you guys have discussed this morning, that the longer this drags out and the odd names that seem to be showing up via Zoom or at Hallis Hall, it's like, okay, maybe they're just wasting their time until they get the opportunity to hire the guy. that they really want, whether it's Ben Johnson or maybe the guy playing Ben Johnson this week, Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, it won't be Marcus Freeman because he's busy getting ready to beat Ohio State. But if he does, what do people are saying about Notre Dame, Ohio State?
Here we go. The point spread, I know Dustin was very upset about this, opened very high, but there has been Notre Dame support. It opened at 9.5 once we got that matchup on Friday night, but it's come down a little bit. 8 over at Circa, 8.5 over at BetMGM. So, yeah, I mean, there is that blowout factor that is concerning, but, you know, you look at this Notre Dame defense, it is hard to imagine that. What I wonder is, are they going to play man-to-man like they have all year, as much as they have, because Ohio State has smoked teams that have decided to go that way against them. And, you know, Jeremiah Smith didn't do much on Friday night, but he certainly has that possibility. So, yeah, people are betting on Notre Dame. They had a great path to get here. Everything's gone right, even though they're down, what, 6 starters at this point? Ohio State down a couple of starters as well. But expect it to be a lower scoring game with these two defenses. Still over a touchdown. Seems like a lot to me, guys. I'll be taking the points.
Really? That's good to hear. Yeah, it's a lot of points, Joe. And I think that when we look at it, there are people that are offended by it, which I think is ridiculous. there's always an opportunity. Tell us about the trend with the Blackhawks. They've lost 9 of 11. Is there a way to make money on that?
Yeah, a hockey bettor I know, score listener, Alex Smith, pointed this out to me yesterday, and I was surprised to see that. Went back, I'm like, oh, wow, there's a way that can make some Blackhawks happy, I guess. If you look at the last 11 games, there has been one bet that has hit in every single game. We're going back to December 21st, guys, and you don't have to stay up late for this one. First period over. The first period total in games is typically set at 1.5 goals. And in the last 11 Blackhawks games, it has gone over in each and every one of them. Hmm. Sometimes bad defense, sometimes the offense shows up. But there's been at least 2 goals scored in that first period in their last 11.
That's incredible.
That is something else. Joe, we've only got a minute left. NFL playoffs. Can the Commanders go into Detroit? Is that a smart bet? Any other underdogs?
Is that a 10? Holy God.
Yeah, I see 9.5. The crazy high total, too, guys. 55.5 points for a playoff game. This is coming off the wild card weekend in which we saw only one over hit, and it probably shouldn't have. It was a Houston game where you had pick sixes just to get it over the total. But yeah, a crazy high total. Very high number there. The Commanders getting a little support, but the Lions are always super popular. You know those Lions wagers are going to come in. The one thing that really stands out, well, a couple. The Bills are now an underdog at home. The Ravens have gotten so much support. They've been so impressive with the run game. And you have to remember way back when, I believe it was week 4, Ravens dominated the Bills. Bills defense trending down a little bit. Not so much. Talking about the Broncos game, just the second half of the year, and the Ravens defense is ascending, so people really buying into that. It went from the Bills as the favorite to now the Ravens the favorite, and also the Chiefs line. The Chiefs are favored by 8.5 over the Texans. When Mahomes is favored by 7 or more this year, 0-5-1 against the spread in his career, covers only 41% of the time.
Wow.
They win, but they don't cover those big numbers.
Wow, that's huge. That's good stuff. The Commanders Lions game, 55, is that right? 56? What is it?
Yeah, 55.5 seeing right now. It was 56. Crazy high.
Crazy high. Yep. Great stuff, Joe. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, fellas.
That is Joe Ostrowski, BetQL, and we've got a long way to go. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the score.